on Afternoons right now. Danny Vallant joins us for Food Glorious Food. Welcome back, Danny.
Why, thank you, Claire. Pleasure to be here as always.
You're a writer and a cook.
And an eater.
And a lover and a mother and lots of different things. You have a lot of hats that you wear in your life. And you need things that you enjoy when you're cooking. We're talking about vessels, the right teacup, the right bowl, yep. The right spoon.
Yeah, look, I think it's important. And, you know, we talked, excuse me, last time about soup. And one of my audience got in touch to tell me that she'd had a blacksmith craft a special spoon for her to eat her soup with. And it just got me thinking about the importance of not just the food that we eat, but what we put it in and what we deliver it to our mouths with. It's very important, that sensual pleasure.
I've often thought if I were born a royal, that is one of the things that I would have changed immediately. All of our cutlery would be hand-forged by a blacksmith.
Let's bring back blacksmiths.
Is it really?
Queen Claire, I'm one of your subjects.
Thank you. Like a, you know, a kind of bronze, you know, beautiful look, a spoon for soup. There's a big movement on Instagram, which I follow. Again, I'm a sucker for the handmade ceramic.
Yeah.
You know, wherever possible at my major birthdays or so on, I ask for a handmade ceramic bowl or ceramic cup. And I've been very lucky over the years. I've got a few birthdays now. So good collection.
That's great.
But there's a beautiful movement on Instagram. It's hashtag, I think, handmade ceramic of people eating on the handmade ceramic. So again, talk to us about the pleasure of this and what you find.
I think, you know, in an age where so much of what we have is mass produced and everyone's got the same thing, I do think that we are starting to value again the handmade and the differences and just that touch of another person that you can witness in the little irregularities, whether it's in a bowl or a cup. And just, I don't know, I think if eating is intimate, and when you don't want it to be a part of the machine age, you know, it's something you're putting into your body. I think you want your own stamp on it.
See, so often we are in the reality of life, and I did this today myself. We're standing up, eating when we're standing up, at our desk, you know, we don't really harness that moment that we could be having with our food. I mean, we've had Yoast on the show before many times, and he's often argued, why would you have a cup of coffee at a time where you can't even sit and enjoy it? Like, just take 3 minutes and enjoy it out of the cup.
Yeah, there's something to be said for that, and especially the environmental impact of those takeaway cups is so awful. But there's also the sort of infantilizing aspect of having coffee out of one of those little sippy cups. And even, you know, I've got my Keep cup and I love it, and I, try to remember to carry it. But I hate sipping out of that little hole. I'm a grown up. Like, can I just get my lips onto the rim and get the liquid into my mouth? You know, like a fully evolved being.
Danny Vallant's our guest on Afternoons. Danny, tell me about what we know in terms of trends when it comes to eating our food out of vessels.
Well, look, I think one thing that, you know, we need to try to push away from is that rush, you know, and even, you know, food getting delivered or takeaway food, it's such a, you know, it's a big part of a lot of our lives. At least can we get it out of the containers and into something proper to eat it? So even if we're not sitting...
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, that's actually a lovely trick. So... You know, I do this, and I've watched Raf Epstein, who's our drive host, do this as well. He might bring in his leftover dinner from last night, but then he'll pop it in something lovely to eat.
And nice.
I get envy. He puts it in the microwave, and I get a bit of envy about that, because sometimes he has very nice vessels, and I've only brought my plain plate. But you've inspired me.
But I've seen you here with a proper pot of tea.
Yeah, that's right. So you can't scrimp on tea.
No, some things just have to be done properly. And I think, you know, we've talked about aesthetics and the pleasures, but there are also, I suppose, social reasons why some people are eating this and some people are using that. For example, it can be about status. So bone china is, you know, there are definite aesthetic pleasures of drinking out of a nice, fine bone china teacup, but that has, in, you know, through time also been a status symbol where not everyone could afford bone china. It's a premium product. Did you know it actually has bones in it or ash in it? Yeah. So bone china, a good bone china should have 30% cow bone ash through it. Yeah.
Why do you think these kinds of items do become equivalent with wealth? Obviously they're expensive to make and so on, but these days, you know, we could probably go to a local cheapest shop and buy ourselves something that was like bone china.
Yeah, I think we can. Like India and China are big, mm-hmm. are the bigger producers of bone china these days. It was just made in England, small pockets of England in the past. So, I suppose things are becoming more accessible. But I think that, I guess, takes us back to the personal and wanting to, you know, I guess, put your own stamp on it and make it something that's it's your private pleasure or your special pleasure or a pleasure that you share with your friends and family. I suppose it's that whole idea of getting out the good china to create an occasion. So it's not just your everyday. And it's, I think it is just about finding, just stopping for those 3 minutes and just, you know, enjoying something properly.
I want to chat with you about the point of difference that many restaurants are now making when it comes to their use of cutlery. So they might have special pieces that are made just for their restaurant. And that's for them a way of installing status into, you know, the price tag on their menu.
I mean, I think that, you know, the top restaurants are always looking for that point of difference and, you know, having something that other people don't have or having something that's instantly recognisable. So I know that at Attica Restaurant, you know, all the vessels are bespoke. They're all made, you know, you won't find that at another restaurant. I was recently at a restaurant in Sydney that I've been stalking on Instagram for St. Peter, a fish restaurant. Lovely. And one of their sort of signatures is that they've got a dot on each of their plates. Looks a bit like a fish eye, which I suppose, you know, ties in with the theme.
Nice.
But if you're scrolling through Instagram, you'll see their, like you'll stop and you'll see their stuff. So it's clever. It gives them a point of difference. And it's simple too. It's just a nice big dot on a plate.
I guess it's Danny Valland. We'd love to hear from you. Do you have a special teacup or perhaps a soup bowl or a spoon that you love? Have you ever had your own? This is pretty fancy. Have you ever had your own cutlery commissioned? 1300 222 774, or you can SMS 0437 774 774. David from Eltham has texted in. You're a cheeky one, David. David says that when he visits restaurants, he often bends the neck of the spoon just a little because he's very particular about the angle and handle of the spoon bit.
Oh my goodness.
I get that. I mean, I haven't gone that far myself, but I really get it. I mean, it's such a simple thing. It's simply a spoon, but it can bring you know, real enjoyment.
It definitely amplifies the pleasure. Uh-huh. And that makes me think, how bad is it, Claire, when you take a fork, or you put a fork into your mouth and one of the tines is awry? That's so bad, isn't it?
I didn't even know they had names. The tines, of course, the fingers.
Yes. Do you know, forks, we're mangling the language today. Forks have got a pretty interesting history, you know. They are the latest of the three cutlery items to come into common usage.
Are they?
And as late as the 11th century, they were considered somewhat devilish.
Oh, how fascinating.
Yes. So there's a great story about a bride in Byzantine Venice who, to the general scandal, used a fork at her wedding feast.
A golden fork?
I believe it could have been. And a clergyman, I'm going to read this bit because I'm trying to remember. A clergyman thought this unspeakably decadent, and he said, "God in his wisdom has provided man with natural forks, his fingers. Therefore, it is an insult to him to substitute artificial metal forks for them when eating."
Fascinating. So back in the day, it was fingers and knives.
Yes, and spoons were okay. That bride died of the plague. Clergyman decided it served her right.
You're kidding.
Fork probably had something to do with it.
Very nasty. Cheryl from Moorabbin, do you have something special in your life?
I do, Claire. my mother had always taught me. She only had one cup and saucer that was cool.
Yeah.
And it was green and yellow. And I bought a number of years ago when Hogwarts became all the thing. I bought a magical Hedwig the Owl bone china mug.
And it's yours. And you love the pleasure of drinking from a mug rather than a little cup?
Oh, no, I like a cup better, but it's a very fine mug.
And when you drink from that mug, Cheryl, what do you feel?
I feel that the little owl inside of the cup is looking at me and protecting me. It's just a silly thing.
That's so charming. Thank you, Cheryl, for sharing that.
That's all right.
What a beautiful idea. you know, these special protective qualities of the things around us.
I love that. I think, you know, mugs with a message are perhaps, you know, can be... Well,
do you have a best mum mug?
I was just going to say Mother's Day is coming up, and I just got the notice to, you know, put a gold coin in the school bag, and I know I'm going to get something disastrous from a stall.
And they're not listening there at school. It's okay. It's all right.
Every now and again, Claire, this might be silly, but every now and again when I'm having a bad Mother Day, I will drink out of the coolest mum ever mug.
I like the idea of vessels being talismans. You know, something that you know we use it in. Like if you have to go and give a speech, for example, you might have a lucky item with you. It's something we spoke about last hour, actually, with Richard Tognetti and Kate Sobrano. You might have something special with you. So I wonder what you have that's special or that's been, you know, with your family for a while. Greg from Jindara, all the way in New South Wales. G'day. Welcome to Afternoons.
Hello.
Hello, Greg. Tell me about your special item.
So it's actually Jindara.
Oh, forgive me.
That's okay. I have a very heavy old soup spoon, which has been handed down through from my dad to me, specifically for feeding, and you might not think this is on topic, but specifically for feeding the animals with.
Really? How big is it, Greg?
I don't know. I'm 54, and it's been around for as long as I can ever remember. I got it from my dad.
Gorgeous.
The only spoon that's strong enough to get the food out of the dog tin without bending it.
There you go. It's a proper work tool.
Yeah, my wife has tried to chuck it out a number of times.
Oh, you don't want that. That would be World War III. Are you then responsible, Greg? You've got to clean it. It's your thing?
I've got to clean it or put it in the dishwasher and make sure the dishwasher goes on, yes.
Well, hang on to it, Greg. It sounds like a beautiful tradition to hand down. Good on you.
Thank you.
Bye now. That was Greg from New South Wales. What about you? What's your favourite utensil to eat with, or what gives you pleasure when you're eating? What sort of amplifies the pleasure for you? What's something easy we can copy you on? Jenny from Montrose, what do you got?
Well, I have this beautiful, beautiful coffee mug, Claire, which was given to me two Christmases ago by my lovely niece, Chloe, who lost her mum on Black Saturday.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It reminds me of the Arabian Nights. And the saying on it is just so lovely. Destiny belongs to those who follow the path of the brave.
That's something her mum gave her before she passed away.
No. She gave it to me for Christmas 2 years ago. Her mum passed away 8 years ago.
Well, she knows about bravery. Gosh, thanks, Jenny. That you've brought up a really beautiful point, which is this sentimentality of these items. Thank you again.
Okay.
Jenny from Montrose.
They do mean a lot, don't they? I've got some cutlery that my grandmother had, still in the boxes, you know, the beautiful 1960s cardboard boxes with the little slots where you can put them away neatly. It's utilitarian cutlery. It's not special. It's just stainless steel. But just to know that, you know, she took the time to keep it in those boxes. I'm not a super neat and careful person, but I am keeping those boxes. And I'm, you know, if the corner goes, I'm sticky taping it up again lovingly.
Do you ever pull them out to use?
We use them all the time. We use them.
We have a sort of, oddly, I don't even know how this happened, but we sort of seem to have a family tradition, a calico print that a lot of our teapots from this Bowditch side and, you know, down through the Dutch, our teapots are now teacups and so on have, you know, if I'm in an up shop and I see one of these particular blue and white Delft dish florally prints, I'll grab them, you know, and occasionally I've splurged out again around a big celebration like our wedding or something like that, where I get an item. But it's been hard to explain to my hubby why this particular teapot, which is so beautiful, doesn't get used anymore. The top split, and I thought, well, we can't use it really, but I'll pop it up there. It's glued up and there it sits. Sometimes we just want to look at these items.
Yeah, look at them, occasionally dust them.
They give us pleasure.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Thanks for bringing this along, Danny. I love the conversations we get to have on Afternoons, and so do our listeners. Brian from Ballarat says, bone handle knife that I have to use each morning to butter my bread. Best knife ever. I bet Brian knows what I didn't know.
About the bone ash?
You do not put it in the dishwasher, do you, Brian?
Oh, gone wrong there.
Well, I really did.
I think butter knives are important.
Mm-hmm. Linda from Sweeney's Creek says, my husband's a potter. She gets to eat and drink from beautiful hand-thrown pots every day. Oh, you lucky thing.
Mm.
Lucky, lucky duck. Danny, what are you up to in the next few weeks until we see you again?
Well, I won't be here for a few weeks because I'm off to sunny, perhaps, Ireland for a wedding.
Ireland!
Yes, a distant cousin is getting married without any consideration for the Victorian school holidays. So the kids are happy. So when next I come back, perhaps we can talk about gourmet treats.
I'd love that. What are you looking forward to eating in Ireland?
Well, I'm looking forward to the dairy. Like, I know that they must have some very happy cows with all that rain and all that grass. So I'm looking forward to some of that. I've been told it's compulsory to drink a lot of Guinness, and I'm not sure how I'm going to go with that.
The wheat.
I'll be doing my best. Yeah, but I'll let you know.
I'll be keeping abreast of your adventures. We can find you on Instagram.
Yep, Danny Vallant, DaniVallent. Love to see you there.
Thank you for coming in.
It's my pleasure.
I'll end with this beautiful poem from Grace. Hi, Claire and Danny. Your conversation about handmade vessels brings to mind a short poem by D.H. Lawrence. It goes like this. Things man have made with wakened hands and put soft life into are awake through years with transferred touch and go on glowing for long years. And for this reason, some old things are lovely, warm still with the life of forgotten men who made them. Thank you, Grace. You're on Afternoons. This is ABC Radio Melbourne and ABC Victoria.